Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. That's the great place where an RV is sitting there in Happy Valley, just waiting for you to show up and tailgate for the weekend. As my good friend Dustin always says, it's a weekend of tailgating interrupted by a football game. If you want to know more and looking for a place to stay for the Michigan game this week, call Mark at 800-519-8467. So this is quarter number one, Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Dustin Hawkinsmith. And Dustin, we're talking Penn State, Maryland, and we could wrap this game up in three words. Jahan freaking Dotson, right?
I should have trademarked that when it first came up a while back, early in the season, because this was, of all the Jahan freaking Dotson games, this was the signature performance for him. What a game for him. And, you know, in some respects, it's hard to find a lot of offensive highlights outside of Dotson, but they didn't need to. That's the good news.
This was perhaps the freakiest Jahan freaking Dotson performance. 11 catches, 242 yards, three touchdowns. Just a great effort by him. And let's start there, Dustin. We'll worry about his legacy, how he compares about some other Penn State wide receivers from the past in a bit. But just talking about this game, one of the things, and the announcers brought this up, is just how smooth he is, how easy he makes it look. But the other thing that I find interesting is how often he was just one-on-one with a defender. It's Jahan freaking Dotson. Don't you have to cover him and have a second guy over the top, a safety also?
It would seem obvious to me to do that, but Maryland opted not to do that, and I think they've struggled in the passing game for a number of reasons. Like, you know, last season, for example, for Penn State, you couldn't really say that Penn State was inadequate from a personnel standpoint, but from a communication and maybe a coaching standpoint, that's where they struggled the most last year in the secondary and allowed some big plays to happen. Maryland just kind of keeps insisting on doing the same things. I'm not going to pretend to know their personnel intimately, what they can handle, what they can't handle. But I think anybody might say that if you're going to put safety Nick Cross on Jahan Dotson in the slot, you're probably asking for some trouble if you don't have help over the top, which he did not. So that was the very first touchdown pass to Jahan Dotson, the first sign that it could be a long day for this Maryland defense, because it wasn't the only time that he turned somebody inside out.
So, again, the numbers were fantastic. Huge game for him. Thank goodness he was obviously the difference in this game. Taking a step back, though, and looking at this game, Penn State, by the score, won rather comfortably. They beat the spread. They covered the spread. But watching the game, it was a completely different story, wasn't it? It just felt like, for the longest time, like the Illinois game, where you didn't score early, you didn't capitalize on some opportunities, you let them in, and at that point you just felt, or I did, Tua's brother was going to do something special.
Well, I mean, you thought that was possible, because he is dangerous in that respect. When he really gets rolling and he's in rhythm and the Maryland offense is in rhythm, you know, they can do some special things. But as the week progressed last week, I really circled a few things for me that were going to be indicators of how I felt like this game was going to go. The first was, obviously, you're going to bend some on defense. Penn State's done that a bunch of times this year, most often on the ground. You know, you look at what some of these teams, Wisconsin, for example, and Illinois, were able to do on the ground. But then they don't break. So the red zone defense part of it, Maryland was not good. They were around 115th nationally in red zone offense. So I thought, you know, it looked pretty clear on paper, like Penn State was going to do a little bit of giving, but ultimately it was going to come down to execution. Some of those smaller details, which Maryland kind of struggles with under Mike Locksley, and I think mistakes. So, you know, Maryland made a couple mistakes. Penn State did not. Penn State was very good once again in the red zone. Maryland didn't execute super well in the red zone, and those were kind of the difference in the game. I did expect Maryland to have a little bit of success during stretches in this game, but the issue is with them is having the depth of talent and the wherewithal to be able to do that on a consistent basis for 60 full minutes. And in the end, I felt like those were separators. You know, Penn State played a more complete game than Maryland did and was more consistent in making plays when they needed to.
Well, let's take a look at, go back to the Penn State offense here a bit. Again, it was all about Jahan Dotson. But the rest of the offense, it wasn't really clicking like Penn State's offense does when things are going well. Sean Clifford was not a factor of running the ball at all. And there was no indication that he was hurting and not willing to run, but it wasn't there. And I think when the offense is clicking, that is always a factor. Those third down plays where it breaks down, he could get out of the pocket, he could get a first down, and often he breaks off one of those 30 or 40 yard runs. That was not part of the offense this week.
It was not part of the offense. We saw a little bit more of it the previous week against Ohio State, and he did look healthy in this one. It just didn't look like it was part of the plan for whatever reason, or maybe Maryland was keying on that. I'm not really sure. But essentially, I mean, outside of that dynamic, a lot of the things that we've come to know about the Penn State offense were true once again in this one, starting with the fact, obviously, that the running game, Sean Clifford or not, just didn't get a whole lot going once again in this one. So that's been, you know, Penn State's 9 for 9 in that regard. They've had some things come and go in the offense. They've had some guys streak onto the scene. Parker Washington has had a couple big days, but the tight ends have had some big days here and there. But, you know, it really came down to Jahan Dotson and the same issue of not being able to get a push up front.
But you mentioned the tight ends. Again, not a huge factor. But are you starting to sense there that Theo Johnson might be taking over there, being the lead tight end?
Well, I kind of thought from week 1 through week 12, it was just going to be a tall order for Brenton Strange, who's a really good player, to hold off Theo Johnson, who really borders on that freaky athlete kind of tight end. And I think that's what we've seen. I feel like Brenton Strange, this has accelerated some just because he's made some key drops and key mistakes and key situations. And I don't think in an arrangement like this, where you have a very, very capable, more athletic, more rangy second tight end on the roster, you just don't get infinite opportunities like that. So I feel like maybe it was going to happen anyway, but Theo Johnson was targeted, what, 4 times in this game to Brenton Strange's 1. He caught 3 passes. Brenton Strange did not have a catch in this game. So you're going to see these guys working in tandem. You probably will see Brenton Strange be the starter through the rest of the year. But Theo Johnson, I think, has earned, rightfully so, an amount of trust that not only is he going to make plays in some of these key situations, that he's got a chance to make some big plays and make some plays down the field. And you have some margin for error throwing to him. So I can totally understand why Sean Clifford would really want to look his direction a little bit more often, which we've seen the past couple weeks.
We definitely have. And I think, I don't care who's starting, I think you hit it with the Theo Johnson targeted 4 times, Brenton Strange targeted 1. Finishing up with the tight end room, Penn State is still searching for that short yardage concept that could work for them consistently. We saw Tyler Warren taking the direct snap early in the season. It was new. We liked it. It seemed to be working, but as of late, just has not. We're still waiting for something creative to be done off of it, aren't we?
We are, and I liken Mike Yurcich with this tight end wildcat package to like a junkie chasing that first high, because one of the worst things that could be done with a mediocre sub package is for you to experience some success with it early. And they experienced enough success with it early that I can kind of understand you're just holding out hope that they can continue to do that. Now, what it does for you is you create some mathematical advantages because you've got a wildcat quarterback in there and you're able to kind of match up a little bit better in the run game. But you know, it takes a little bit of time to develop. You're talking about a guy who's 260 pounds taking that direct snap. There hasn't been a lot of creativity off of it. And every millisecond counts when the inside of your offensive line is struggling to hold up and struggling to get a push. And by the time Tyler Warren really starts to make a football move, there hasn't been a lot of hope that it was going to go anywhere. And I think his frame and what, you know, how unique he is as a player can only make up for so much. Those plays really from the beginning have just looked destined to fail. You know, there hasn't been any room for Tyler Warren whatsoever. I kind of feel like it's time to move on from this package, but I don't know that Mike Yersich is going to do that anytime soon.
Either move on from it or get a little more creative with it. You just got the sense that everyone on Maryland's defense was saying, oh, here comes Tyler Warren. He's going to hesitate and then try to ram the ball right up the middle, and they were waiting for him. The other concept, you talked about the running game a little bit and where Penn State is with it. Did you see a glimmer of hope? There was, I looked it up, the three official running backs had 25 carries and actually averaged 4.5 yards a carry, being led by Kevon Lee, who actually averaged over 6 yards a carry. Glimmer of hope there, Dustin?
I mean, Noah Kane looked a little bit better. There was a stretch, I think it was maybe late in the first quarter, there was a stretch where it was like three or four plays that were all Noah Kane's, and he looked pretty sharp. Couple of runs, couple passes. And so he looked a little bit more like himself than we've seen a lot of the time. So that's encouraging in its own right. And Kevon Lee, I mean, I think with opportunities, he's going to be able to break something. And in this case, it was a 15-yard gain, which that felt like about 1,000 yards considering what this run game's been through, that 15 yards. So he's got some explosiveness and some pep in his step. I feel like mixing and matching three or four running backs is great if you've got three or four really good ones. I think they've just been spinning their wheels, just arbitrarily trying to go from one guy to the next. There's no time for anybody to do much. And this is where it starts to become a burden and a responsibility when you're trying to mix and match running backs and you don't have any kind of natural pecking order established. Well, let me help out with that. Make Kevon Lee your top back and let's start from there and make sure that he gets 12 to 15 touches per game. And then let's let the chips fall where they may. You have to do something different. They keep beating the same drum to the same results.
This was the first game in quite a while that you started to see something from a running back that might set him apart from the rest. Dustin, that's it for quarter number one. Stick around. We've got a lot more to go in quarter number two. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.